Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Hi, 714, Tommy Tucker, WWO. Glad to be back. Glad to be talking to Jeff Nowak, WWO Saints sideline reporter and digital producer, about the Saints and training camp. How you doing there, Jeff?
I'm doing good, Tommy. You know, last time I was on with Dave, I was like, Dave, I love you, but I can't talk to you again until Tommy's back. It's not right. So I'm glad you've returned to us.
Well, Tommy. Thank you. I was thinking about you and the other guys at training camp, because I was out doing some stuff in the yard and it was just miserably hot, incredibly hot, crazy hot.
Yeah, you know, there were some cooler days at the beginning. You know, it was like the weather was giving us like a ramp up period. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the last couple of days in pads. You know, yesterday it was weird because it kind of started cooler, and I thought, oh, maybe we'll luck out, and then the kind of haze burned off, mm-hmm. and it was one of the hotter days we've had. So they're going to practice inside today, I believe, and I think that'll be a welcome thing for the players, because they've been getting their work in. Last year they were in California, so even these second year players that didn't get the taste of it last year, and the rookies, obviously, they're having an adjustment period.
What's gotten your attention so far?
Yeah, you know, there's been a few things. It's interesting to watch the quarterback competition. You know, I think over the first week, we've seen that Spencer Rattler kind of came in ahead of the curve, which isn't a surprise. He came in as a second-year player. Looks like a second-year player. Tyler Shuck. Looks like a rookie. You know, he's been a little tentative. I haven't really seen him be as aggressive as I want him to be. You know, when you're targeting your star receivers and they're in one-on-one coverage, I want to see a ball that gives that guy a chance to go make a play. There have been a little too many safe throws for my liking, a few too many scrambles. So that's one thing. But, you know, I've been impressed with the defense. I've been impressed with the defensive line. Devon Godshaw, which, you know, people in Louisiana will remember, obviously was at LSU way back when, played for the Patriots the last few years. Saints traded for him. You know, we've been hearing, it's everyone we talk to on the offensive line or defensive line, you know, in a league full of big, strong guys, is like in awe of the size and the strength that he brings at that nose tackle position. And that's going to be important for this team, because, you know, one of the biggest issues for them last year was the inability to stop the run. And when you can't stop the run, you can't do anything, right? Like, you can't ask your guys to cover forever. You can't, and when you can't stop the run, you have to devote extra bodies to the run game, so you leave guys on islands more often, and it's just this cascading effect of your defense. You have the other team is constantly in second and third and short, so you can't get the pass rush going, so the sack numbers are down. So it really all starts there. And so the more I watch Devon Godshaw, the more I watch Julian Blackman, the guy they brought in to replace Tyrann Mathieu, the more fortunate it feels that they were able to bring those guys in a season where, you know, they didn't really have a choice. They needed a nose tackle, so they went and found one, and he just happens to be a really good fit in the scheme. You know, they needed a safety desperately, and they happened to find a guy with 5 years of experience, 61 starts. He's got a ball hawk mentality, and you can see that. He already has an interception on a really impressive play. So, you know, two of the biggest questions, okay, what are the quarterbacks going to look like? What is this new defense going to look like? And so far, I think the defense is looking like a group that can, you know, help this team win more games than maybe they're being projected to right now.
What can you tell in full pads about the offensive line against this defense?
Yeah, you know, we've seen 2 days of it. You know, I didn't get to watch the one-on-one reps yesterday because they did them. Kellen's an efficiency guy, so mm-hmm. you know, there were three different sets of one-on-ones going on at the same time. You know, you had wide receiver, defensive, or cornerback. You had tight end, running back, safety, linebacker, and then you had offensive line, defensive
line.
Wait,
different parts of the
field? Yes,
makes sense. I guess
it's great for the players. Yeah. It's not great with the people with just two eyeballs that aren't recording it. So you can't.
Yeah, that's not.
I can't really speak to what happened with the one-on-one. Steve Geller was over there watching, and he gave some notes. There's some clips on Twitter I was able to pick up and watch, mm-hmm. but. You know, I think the physicality this year is going to be upgraded, particularly for Trevor Penning. Like, you watch him at the guard spot, and it's very clear why, you know, they made that switch. They chose to make that switch. He's excited about the switch because, you know, his physicality at that position is really going to shine because there's just not a lot of space there. Like, he's able to just kind of, like, home in on a guy, go hit him, be physical, and not have to worry about, you know, protecting space, protecting both sides of it, of the rush, you know, playing too far outside, getting beat inside, vice versa. He can really just get downhill a lot of the time, and you've seen that. And again, like last year, the offensive line was a big weakness, but it wasn't because of the players on the offensive line. It was because of the absence of players on the offensive line. And I still think this group, you know, with four first round picks and a high second round pick, can be a strength of this group. Now, I also think that going against the Saints defense every day in practice in this kind of confusing 3-4 scheme that's going to involve a lot more blitzing, a lot more stunts, is going to be good for that group to go against. And I think the defensive line really kind of got after him on the first day in pads, which makes sense. You know, they get the physicality for the first time, and the offense has to adjust to that. But I thought the offensive line really kind of held up well yesterday. So we'll see over the next week where both these groups are, I think.
All right, Jeff, we'll talk quarterback. We come back. Tommy Tucker, WWL, glad to be back talking to Jeff Nowak, WWL Saints sideline reporter, digital producer, a Hall of Fame game tonight, Saints' first preseason game, about 12 or 13 days away, I think it is. We'll take a break for traffic. Be right back, WWL. The NFL gets started tonight, Hall of Fame game. We'll watch it for about 2 minutes and then turn it off, but at least it'll be a return to football. 7:25 now, Jeff Nowak joins us, WWL Saints sideline reporter and digital producer. Jeff, what would the starting offensive line look like?
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Like right now, take me from tackle to tackle.
Yeah, so it's going to look the same as it looked in OTAs and minicamp. We haven't seen really any change. We haven't seen any rotation, and I think that's telling of, you know, the confidence level they have in those guys. If they felt like one of them was really struggling in a position switch, then they probably would be moving guys around. But as of right now, you have the rookie, the number 9 pick, Kelvin Banks at left tackle. You have Trevor Penning at left guard. He's obviously a guy who started at left tackle 2 years ago, started at right tackle last year. Now
he's
at left guard.
You're talking about him being inside and less room, correct?
Yes.
Gotcha.
Yes,
okay.
Yes. So he's spent pretty much his whole NFL career at tackle, didn't get a single rep at guard until this year. So it's a big switch. It's a big change.
And seems to be doing well.
Yes. Okay. I mean, 2 days into padded practice, so there's a lot of time to identify struggle points. But as of now, I think he's doing solid. He did have a false start yesterday. And one thing that's interesting is Kellen Moore and this kind of regime, when a guy makes a penalty, when he false starts, he has to come off the field. So there was a moment in team drills yesterday where Trevor false started and he had to kind of like jog off the field. And the point is to kind of make him sit with that to understand, like, okay, there is a consequence. And then, you know, it doesn't train bad habits. So left guard.
What is his quickness like? Not to get too technical here, Jeff, but when it comes to pulling and things like that, because that's not about speed as much as quickness, right?
You know, it's tough. Without the All-22, it's tough to see to get a good read on the pulling. But he gets off the line well. I think he's not thinking as much at guard. He's able to just kind of fire off the ball a lot more. And so I think that's been helpful for him. And then you got Eric McCoy at center, Cesar Ruiz at right guard, no change there. And then Taliese Fuaga, for last year's first-round pick, started all 17 at left tackle, but he came out of Oregon State as a right tackle. It's where he's played his entire college career, so he's back over at right tackle, a position he's a little bit more comfortable at, and he's looked very good as well. So, and again, like, this is a group that should be a strength. When you invest that much capital into a group, you need that group to play like a group that has four first-round picks on it, you know? Like, so they need that. And I think that's – if this season is going to go better than the prognosticators are saying it will, it's going to be because you have a really, really effective offensive line and you make life a lot easier on the quarterback in the run game.
Let's talk about tight end.
Yeah, tight end, you know, it was a concern for me going into camp just because of how thin the position is with Taysom Hill and Foster Moreau still out with injury. Don't plan on either of those guys. Foster seems to be a little further
ahead.
Wait,
you broke up a little bit. Foster Moreau and who?
Taysom Hill.
Taysom Hill, right?
They're both working back from knee injuries, obviously, that suffered last year. So they're out until they can get back on the field.
And is one closer than the other to being in? Because I know Taysom's got a while left, right?
Yeah, I think Foster, I think you'd expect Foster to be on the field before the end of camp. Taysom might be more into the regular season, but it's a timeline thing right now, and we just don't know.
Okay.
So that means it's really thin at the top with Juwan Johnson, and Juwan went off the field with an injury yesterday.
It's been reported
that it was a groin injury, nothing major, should probably keep him out a couple days, which is a positive result. But, you know, it's like when you look at that, it's what I was saying going into camp, like the second you take Juwan off the top of that list, it gets real thin real fast. You're talking about like Jack Stahl, Michael Jacobson, Maliki Matavau was a seventh-round pick. Trayton Welch is out there, but he also got hurt yesterday. So, you know, it's a position that, like, they were looking at Noah Fant. He came in for a visit. And you understand why, because, you know, it's too important of a position in this offense to say, like, oh, you either have this guy or you have nobody you trust in the passing game. And that's kind of where you're at right now. So we'll have to see what happens over the next few days, because while it's, you know, you don't want to be without Juwan, it will be an opportunity for some of these depth guys to maybe show, hey, I've got a little bit more to offer than you might have seen in the past. So we'll be watching that the next couple of days.
Yeah, them guys tend to have to block occasionally too, those tight ends. Tell me about this 6'9" tackle that's in camp. What's he looking like? That can be too big. It can be too tall, 6'9".
Yeah, if you're 6'9", you really want to be a tackle. You don't see a lot of 6'9" guys at guard. His name's Robert Mendoza. They signed him after a tryout earlier in the week. The interesting thing about him, and we haven't seen him much, he was out there for the first time yesterday, is he was a college teammate of Tyler Shuck at Louisville last year, but also a college teammate of Mason Tipton at Yale, because he started at Yale, transferred to Louisville. So there's that familiarity. It never hurts to have familiarity with the quarterback when you're looking at an offensive lineman. But he's a big dude. I haven't seen him get into team reps yet. I think he'll probably start working in with the third team at some point. They cut Josh Ball to make room for him, so they clearly liked what they saw out of him.
He's got to stand out on a field of giants. He's got to stand out at 6'9", does he?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's the tallest offensive lineman now. You know, and him next to Trevor Penning, Trevor's about 6'7", 6'8". So, yeah, I mean, those two guys, they could probably lift up a car if you need them to.
I feel like I'm in kindergarten. All right, thank you, Jeff. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you again. And you can come on with Dave if for whatever reason I'm incapacitated. It's like Miss America, okay? The second person comes up, and it's okay. Thank you, sir. Jane Cooper joins us. We come back, chair of the French Quarter Management District, as we'll continue to talk about as the garbage turns in the French Quarter. Actually, it's not turning because it's getting picked up. 7:31, 29 till 8, traffic, news and all that. Ian McNulty, one of my Ian Ozan, you take a week off and it takes you a while to get back into the swing of things. You know what I'm saying? Ian Ozan now with WWL First News.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense, while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.